Blog Talk Radio. Nicole and those women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you today?
Hello, Cindy, and how are you?
Oh, very good. I'm so glad you're on. I was about to dial into the guest call-in when I saw you came on. I was like, oh, my good. I was getting a little bit nervous. I'd have to do the host call-in, so I was waiting. I didn't know which one.
Well, Blog Talk is giving me one hell of a time, so... I had to actually, like halfway through the music, I actually had to run to a different computer because Blog Talk kept, every time I got into the studio, it kept kicking me out. So I don't know what that was all about.
That's not fun.
No, that's not
fun at all.
But it's part of the course.
And you know, I always get a little bit nervous when you're not around because, you know, you're the person that keeps this whole thing running and grooving. How is your summer? You're having a good time?
I am. I'm having a great time this summer.
Because it's such beautiful weather. We really had a great summer of weather, so I think we have to appreciate that. You know,
absolutely.
Every day has been cooperative.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, we've had very, very little rain, and I'm really, really, like, you know, this was a good summer. You know, I've been outside a lot. I've been able to actually enjoy the outside, so that's always good.
Well, I noticed that your Lisa, in her pictures in Facebook, has quite the tan. So you guys have been out a lot.
we try.
I know everybody's envying her tan. They go, we want that tan. We want that tan.
I don't know.
Well, we do have a lot of listeners.
She gets into the sun more than I do.
Well, good for her. She's enjoying her summer, too. Well, as you notice, we have a lot of callers today, and
we do.
You know, maybe we'll just jump right into that first caller, that 509 number, and then you can maybe screen after that.
Of course, I will. So, as usual, guys, I never ever, I do not screen the first caller. So we're just going to go to the person that has been waiting the longest, just so that you know that we're speaking to you. The last four digits of your number are 0125, and let's see who's waiting for us there. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Oh, you're so sweet. And what's your name, by the way?
It's Erica.
Erica, okay. And where are you calling from? I don't know the 509 area code, so where are you from?
Washington State. I have a dentist appointment, like, after this. I'm kind of nervous.
Oh, you're nervous about your dental appointment? Dentists don't hurt anymore. Don't you know that? They give you Novocaine. I mean, I could tell you the horror stories when I was growing up. We used to get our teeth drilled without anesthesia. I mean, this is nothing when I go to the dentist now. I just love it. I just sit back, relax, and chill out. And I go, yeah, do what you got to do, you know? So, you know, to be scared of the dentist, you're so cute. But, you know, we'll pull one card on that. You're going to live, okay? You'll be fine with the dentist. So is it one of your phobias?
No, it was over my wisdom teeth. They didn't close right, so they're checking them out.
Oh, okay. So. Now that you're talking wisdom teeth, it was the one trauma of my life was my wisdom teeth being taken out, by the way. Okay? It was one of those disasters. And, you know, I'm making fun that you can't die at the dentist. Well, from the anesthesia, I got a blood clot in my arm, so I almost did die from my wisdom teeth. So, wisdom teeth. And also I had a hole in my mouth that didn't heal for, like, 5 years. So, okay, wisdom teeth. Yeah, that's kind of a thing. But, you know, they probably have to clean it out a bit and stitch it up and whatever. Maybe I'm sure you'll be fine. But they do take a while to heal, by the way. So, oh, boy.
Yeah,
it's not just your regular run of them. And I know it's very painful when they take them out, correct? It hurt you for a while.
Yeah. I got them all done at the same time, too. So Yeah.
Well, that was insanity on your part. But, you know, in some ways it's good, but there probably wasn't a part in your mouth that didn't hurt.
Yeah.
So, oh, no. Okay, well, I think you're going to be fine on that. Now, are you calling about the dentist and your teeth, or are you calling about some other issue, by the way?
No, I'm single, and I was just wondering if you see anyone who I'd be interested in and vice versa coming in.
Okay, well, first of all, you're so cute. Who wouldn't think you're adorable? But what I see coming here, first of all, there is a husband in the future, so I hope you want, like, the big committed thing, because this is showing here a very nice committed relationship. You haven't picked the best men in the past. Are you aware of that?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, you can tend to fall for the princes that become the beast, men that you have no idea what you sign on for. I think now that you've gotten your wisdom teeth out, what that means is now you're going to be wiser. So maybe you'll make some better choices. You have to have a little less tolerance for, like, the men that are boys, because a lot of your generation, the men are not growing up. They really are boys. Can you see that? They're not very mature. But this guy that's showing up is very loving. He's hardworking, which is important. He's generous. And he's very kind. Are you starting your relationships on the right foot? Do you start relationships, or you do the booty call hookup thing that's so prevalent in your generation?
No, I do the right thing.
Good, because that way you can, you know, I love my clients that start as a hookup, and they're wondering why a year later they're still just a hookup, if not even less than a hookup. I'm like, well, that's not the right way to start. He's kind of old-fashioned, which is good, because you're a little bit old-fashioned, so he will fit very well. You have a, I think it's a grandfather who passed away. Do you have a grandfather who passed away?
On my mom's side, but I never met him.
Because he's a nice man, by the way, and he seems to like watching over you. You're not a hard person to watch over. You pretty much do what's right. And he likes you very much. You met him in spirit, according to him. He does know who you are, and he has watched over you. But he's the one that told me that you don't pick the best men. So this one appears that your grandfather's going to be picking. You have about 5 soulmates that could possibly be brought in alignment with you, because we do have more than one soulmate. And he's picked the one he thinks would be the best for you. So you've just got to get yourself out there. Do you do anything to find someone at all?
Well, I'm currently at the university. I'm going to be going back for a new school year. So, I mean, and I'm going to be living in a new place where it's all about teens. Like, we're all teens, and we have a pool, tanning bed. Like, we have it all. Gym.
Okay, good. So you're going to meet people when you're there. You're going to get out there and make friends and get out there, because it looks like you should meet. When's your birthday? Just the month and the
December.
And the day?
December 4.
Okay. You have a very good year opening up with your birthday starting December 4th. So it looks like close to your birthday you should have met this guy or be meeting him. So this is a really good year coming up for you. And like, love is in the cards. Your career looks good in the future, too. I mean, you really have very good cards here. You're pretty intuitive yourself. Are you working on any of your intuition and trusting your gut a little more?
Mm-hmm.
Because you have good gut instincts. Okay, you got to stop second-guessing things.
I should listen.
Okay, because your gut tells you when guys aren't good right away. But then you kind of, like, make excuses for abuse, or you think maybe I could fix them, or... You know, they're going to change because it's me. They're not going to change because of you. You know, try to figure out more in the beginning if your gut's telling you this isn't a good person or that's not a good person. Try to trust it a bit. Have you looked back in your past relationships and realized that maybe you ignored a lot of red flags? Okay, so who drinks too much, by the way, or who drank too much?
My uncle does. I think my dad did too a lot. I never met him either.
Okay, because that's... I'm glad you said that, because I wasn't sure if your father was dead, or there's a card that indicates either a dead father or a father who's not been in the picture.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so sometimes when, you know, women are raised without a father, they tend to... keep picking men who aren't so great, because when we're little, we're very judgmental of our parents, of our mothers. We think if I were married or if I had a child, I'd make sure I pick a good father. I'd make sure I'd be so great he wouldn't leave. I'd be so lovey-dovey I'd fix him. And then we try to figure out why our mothers fell in love with this son of a bitch to begin with. He was probably the prince that became the beast. Your mother had no idea what she signed on for. And you keep picking men who you're trying to prove you could have fixed daddy. Get over that. The sooner you get over that, your mom couldn't have fixed your father. I mean, according to your grandfather, your mother had loved your father, but he wasn't the world's greatest guy on earth. And consider a great act of love that your father didn't stick around and abuse you. Mm-hmm. Don't think, oh, he abandoned me. A good father sometimes is a good enough father who decides to walk away from us because he isn't going to heal his issues. And your father didn't stick around and abuse you, so you can kind of be grateful for that. And instead of looking at it as that your father abandoned you, why don't you look at it that he loved you and your mother enough to leave you guys alone so she could find somebody better or that she could have a better life than he could bring?
So earlier you said that the future husband, is he like, I'm going to meet him really soon? Cause that's pretty
right,
soon.
Yeah, and he doesn't drink. He is not an alcoholic. He does. You know, because according to your grandfather in heaven, he says you're not going to be with a guy who drinks. So this is a really good guy. And you're going to meet him really soon. He's a really good guy.
So you said this year, like around that birthday?
Yeah, this birthday. Your birthday year, starting December 4th is when your real new year begins because that's your birthday. So you could meet him almost slightly before that. Even like October, November, but definitely by
How
time December,
he?
January, he's pretty close to your age. He's not much older.
Oh,
he's pretty close to your age. He's really good. You're going to recognize him almost immediately when you meet him because you're going to have this sense that you've known him before. And stay away from the bad boys, please. Okay, are you beginning to realize you can't fix people?
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's part of our lesson. You know, good people always think they could fix people. But, you know, certain people are not going to be fixed in this lifetime. Well, good luck to you with your wisdom,
thank you.
Piece, by the way.
Yeah, thanks. Bye.
Okay, bye. Mm-hmm. That poor dear going to get her wisdom teeth done now. That sounds like fun, doesn't it?
Aww. I've had that done. It's not fun.
No, I know. And I said, you know, that was probably one of the worst, you know, experiences in my life to be 22 years old with a blood clot in my arm from the anesthesia. And, I was like, okay, he have your wisdom teeth out and now you could die. I was like, okay, this is great. This is really great. But I did survive. I did live to tell. So that's the good news.
Well, thank God.
But whenever I hear the wisdom teeth, I just think, it's one of those things you don't forget, the amount of pain, how long it takes to heal. It wasn't very wise of God to give us those things. That's for sure. So we do have...
No, they don't make you any wiser either.
No, I don't think so. And leaving them in doesn't even do that either. I mean, my daughter, Shauna, has all four of hers. I mean, I can't believe Shauna has all four of hers still. So, I mean... sometimes they keep saying they got to come out, but so far I'm like, just leave them until they give you trouble. Just leave them.
Exactly. Don't bother
for trouble.
Don't fix it if it's not broke.
That's what I say. I mean, I have a tooth floating on the top of the roof of my mouth, by the way, that never came down. And, every time I go to the dentist, I go, you got a tooth on the roof of your mouth. That may have to come out one day. I go, yeah. Okay, we'll see if I get hit by a train first, okay? We're living in peace, that tooth and I. I don't bother it. It doesn't bother me. So
exactly.
We'll just leave it there. But it's always funny. They always look and go, oh, look at that tooth. I'm like, yeah, I know. It didn't come down. I know about that tooth. Well, we do have someone in Florida. We always like the Florida people. And can you tell me about
her? Yes, we
have
Lena. Well, Lena is in Florida, like you said. And she's got a relationship question for you, Cindy. And I did ask her, is this about a current relationship or is this about a desired relationship? And Lena's answer to me was, it's kind of a little bit of both. So let's get a little bit of clarification from Lena in Florida. Hello, okay. Lena, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Good. And so you've got this sort of person that you've smitten with. Is that what's going on here?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to explain. We sort of met, and then we had sort of like a disagreement, and he keeps sending me these text messages like he's in love with me, but then he won't talk to me, so I don't know what's
okay,
going on
we're
with
gonna
this
stop
stuff.
You. We're going to stop you right there, okay? When I hear text messages isn't communication.
Mm-hmm.
Text messages were created to say, I'm running late and I'll see you later. You know, when men can't talk, it usually means to me, what are you doing and who are you with that you can't talk to me? You can sit in a room and text because nobody will know who you're texting. It's a little bit of a red flag here that he's not calling you and speaking to you. Do you ask him to talk to you on the phone and not just text?
No, I mean, I don't know. What's his name is Steve, so I don't know what you can get on him. What do you think about this guy? I mean, is he sincere?
Okay,
I
never think very highly of a man who can't call a woman and speak to her. It's
okay.
Never a good sign because it usually means men. A lot of men who are just texting women have other women, and they just shoot off texts all day long. And it's, you know, why can't he take a half an hour to make a phone call to you and communicate to you? It looks like he's got some issues. Are you in a place, because there's a lot of background noise going on?
I can walk outside. I just didn't know if was able to pick up all the static. Okay, I walked outside now. Okay, is that better?
Okay, good, because that's better. He looks like he's a guy who plays the game of blemish, which means you had a little bit of a fight and now gives him an excuse not to talk to you. But he doesn't want to let go of you, so he's got one foot with you, one foot there. You know, how old are you, by the way?
53. He's 60.
Okay. Okay. Now, what he's doing is something that he's learned from the younger generation of men, by the way. Because the younger generation of men are famous for just texting. But a 60-year-old man should know better than to just text a woman and not talk to her, okay?
He was married for 30 years, and he's new to the dating world, and he's very, very shy.
Okay, and again, that's what he's telling you. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So what's happening is the men are, and how did you meet him? Did you meet him online?
No, I met him at Starbucks.
Okay, so you met him just going about your life. You know, the men are having a really lot of fun with the dating world, more than you might realize, because, you know, they're saying, oh, look, I can meet women here. I can go on dating sites. There's all these women who may want me. So, you know, he's just gotten out of a long-term relationship, and maybe he wants to see how much fun it is to go out and date and see how many women he can fool around with and have fun with. You know, you're making a little bit of excuse for his abuse that he's shy. I don't really care what his problem is. Okay. It's if he likes a woman, if a man likes a woman, by the way, and he wants to have a higher love, and I'm not saying he doesn't like you. Sometimes men just don't want a higher love right now. They don't want a good relationship. They want a lot of women they could fool around with. But when a man wants a relationship, he calls a woman. He wants to see her. He wants to see her regularly. He wants to be with her. You know, how long have you known him now?
Oh, about 6 months.
About 6 months. And did you actually go on dates with him?
No, he asked me, but I sort of blew him off because I thought he was kind of nutty.
Okay, how about the red flag here? If you thought he was kind of nutty, is he kind of nutty?
Yeah, I mean, can't communicate with me, and I don't know. I never had that before. Either a man wants to be with you or they don't. If he doesn't,
right, because
then
you're in an age group where that's the way men used to behave. So he's a 60-year-old man. He's now learning the tricks from younger men. Oh, just text them. You don't have to talk. Women, they'll wait around for you. All the men think they're calling all the shots now. You could be this close to me, not that close. Realize that he looks like a man that's got a lot of issues that he has not resolved in his lifetime. I mean, he's married 30 years. Relationships tend to work in 5-year cycles. It looks like at that point he hadn't healed many of his issues. But, you know, he's, the card looks like if you got involved with him, his marriage was pretty toxic. Did he tell you anything about that?
Not really.
Okay. Did he tell you why it didn't work?
No, he did not. He did tell me his wife divorced him. They were like brother and sister.
Okay, so it means that they, you know, brother and sister means that they didn't have any sex life. They didn't, you know, have anything going on there. But why didn't he want to divorce her?
I mean,
he would
no
have
idea.
Been perfectly happy to have stayed in that relationship and not divorce because he didn't want to divide his property. He would have been perfectly happy to live like brother and sister, but he must have been doing something for sex during those years. Normally, you know, if he's not cheating with other women, he probably got a really bad porn addiction going on there. Because, you know, I'm always screaming at women who, they don't care that their husbands are looking at porn all day and because they don't care to have sex with these men. I go, really? The internet porn is highly addictive and creates a monster.
That's true.
It's your responsibility to keep these people from the temptations of the world and the monster evil thing that internet porn has become. But it seems that he was perfectly happy to live that way. So that already says something not great about a person.
Right.
And, you know, even in terms of you, what do you think, you know, he's doing for sex? Why doesn't he want to come see you and have a relationship with you?
Well, he's tried, and I've pretty much pushed him away.
And so why are you even bothering to call and ask about him if you pushed him away?
I don't know.
Why do you care?
I mean, I don't know.
Haven't you found somebody else?
I don't know. I mean, I always get approached by men, but I'm very picky, and I want to find a quality man that I want to marry. And a lot of men, they don't want to marry. They just want to fool around with you.
Yeah, that's what's going on, and we talk about this on the radio show all the time. The men are the new masters over women. You could be my fuck buddy, my hookup, you know, my friends with benefit. You can't be my girlfriend, my wife, or my fiance. I mean, it's terrible. But women are allowing this to happen, and realize that this man is calling all the shots with you. He'll call you, he'll text you when he feels like it. What I would point blank say to the men from now on: what's your intention in texting me? What do you want from me? I'm looking for a committed relationship. If that's not what you're looking for, don't text me. Leave me alone.
Well, I pretty much cut it off right now. I have cut it off right
good.
Now. Yeah.
Good. Because you have to be one of the sisterhood of women that are teaching men. You can't be jerking women around. Because the women have just gotten, I've never seen such a wimpy, you know, generations of women happening now. What happened to women? They're working, they're supporting themselves, and yet men are coming and going as they please. Men are treating women with no respect. There's no courting. There's no whining and dining. There's no treating you special. What happened to that? What happened?
What happened
to romance? And and again, you know, you're a nice person, so you say, "Well, he's shy." You know, well, that's too bad. Get over it, and realize that. You know, I think it's very important to the universe, if you want a committed relationship, that you pretty much close this door and don't waste time with this kind of a man. But if you were to be with him, and the reason he's sort of, you know, not coming too close is he's really not easy to live with on a day-to-day basis.
Oh, my God.
I mean, he would have been perfectly happy, and a lot of people are like that. They don't care. They live like brother and sister. Maybe, you know, maybe the men have affairs. They cheat on their wives because that's what happens when you live like brother and sister and the wife doesn't seem to care or whatever. I mean, obviously she wanted more from life.
Yeah.
And it was her who had the wake-up call and decided she wanted more. It was never him that wanted that. So, you know, pay attention to when people, you know, why did they leave a marriage? You know, you want to hear them not blaming everything on their ex, but you want to hear, you know, something. This is not a man who really wanted the divorce. He doesn't necessarily want to be married again at this point, but he would have been perfectly happy to live his life. What's going on here is you will find someone if you do anything to find people besides go to Starbucks.
I go out every weekend, and I do meet men, but I like I told you before, I keep meeting these men that just want to have sexual relations, and I push them away because I want a good relationship.
Okay, and what's going on is something's happened in America in which the men are looking at too much porn. They're going on websites and they think it's like, I can't, way to get sex. 39 million people were in Ashley Madison trying to cheat on their mates. Some things happen where the men really think they can do this and that women are just, I don't know, so desperate for a man, they'll just do, just go and be with them. It's eliminating the men like that pretty quickly because there are still some very good men out there. But when, a man approaches you for sex right away, whatever, that kind of thing, he pretty much reveals who he is. There is the three-date rule, according to my clients. When you go out, you're supposed to, the men think if they take you out on three dates, you have to have sex with them. Whoever made up those rules, the men? I mean, it's nonsense. So, I mean, it's just cracking me up how the world's changed. And I'm glad you're sticking by your guns. But you might, want to practice sort of eliminating these men sooner than later from your life. I mean, Okay. Maybe you thought this guy was different because he was married 30 years ago. Well, at least he committed to somebody. But I would call him a committed commitment phobic. He was married to somebody he didn't love all that much. What kind of commitment is that? They're not living heart, soul, mind, body. So don't be fooled by someone who was married long term. It doesn't mean they don't have commitment issues. He may be afraid of a higher love. He may have felt a strong connection with you, and then he's not in control of his emotions, and he ran away. I mean, sometimes people just run away from a better love. It's very sad, but they do. So, he's just not that into a higher love at this point. I'm sure you must have felt some connection, or you wouldn't have still been thinking about him at all. But, we have many soulmates. 45% of people are offered a soulmate. 1% maintain it because soulmate love demands being two equals. He's not the boss over you. You're not mommy to a boy. It would mean you're committed to that love and committed to healing. And this man's not committed to either. He's also too old to start changing. He's pretty manipulative. I don't know if you see that. He's manipulating you all over the place. And he's judgmental. Did you ever hear him judge people?
Yeah.
So those two traits in a person over the age of 25, the prognosis of him changing is about 10%. He is who he is. He's pretty much set in stone.
So he's just looking for a hookup.
I think he's looking for a hookup now. I think he felt more for you, and that's why he's not hanging. That's why he kind of ran away and controlled how close you could get. But, at this point, you're better off without him. He doesn't look like somebody that's worth wasting any time over.
No.
And
when do you see Joel coming to?
It looks like someone will be coming, in your future. Again, you have to get out there, you have to meet people.
Yeah.
And I know you're doing that. But you might want to check what kind of vibration you're giving off, by the way.
Okay.
You might want to work on that. I mean, I was a professional belly dancer for 35 years, and people would say to me, weren't men hitting on you? Weren't this? I go, nope. They never hit on me. I did not give off the vibration that you could hit on me. Do you know what I mean? I gave off the vibration that I'm a professional dancer. I'm here to entertain, but nobody crossed that line. And I would see dancers all the time being hit on by men, and I would, because it was, they sort of weren't giving off a vibration strong enough that, that I'm worthy of something better than just a hookup. And sometimes it's just a self-esteem issue. It's not that you're not looking pretty or attractive or you're looking slutty. I'm not saying that at all. It's sometimes you might be just sort of such a nice person and you don't want to hurt people's feelings. And so you kind of let people, be themselves. But it's giving off more of a vibration that would command a little more respect from men. I mean, I grew up with three older brothers. I had a predominantly male neighborhood. I had to learn very young how to give off that vibration. Do you know what I mean? To be left alone by people. So I think you might almost appear too approachable. Some people just don't appear approachable at all. That's even worse. But you might be almost too approachable. So, work on that vibration a little bit.
I've been divorced. I'm divorced 13 years, and I really am getting very lonely.
And I'm glad to hear that. I don't want to hear you say, I'm all men suck and I'm so happy to live alone every day. I want to hear you say, I want love. Love comes to those people that want it and believe in it. So, you know, I don't want you getting jaded. The greatest love affairs are happening to women 50 and over. We had to, you know, get divorced. We had to do what our grandmothers and great-grandmothers and everybody else wanted to do. And you've made, you know, you've made mistakes. You've learned from them. You may have been a little afraid, you know, to get in something you can't get out of in the past. You may have had a little bit of closet commitment phobia of your own.
Yeah, I did.
Because you didn't. Okay, so now if you don't overcome that, you're only going to get people who are also commitment phobics. So what you need to do is pray for a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing. And you want to be a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit back. Because if you can't overcome your own commitment phobia, you will only get commitment phobics gravitating to you. So you have to really heal that, you know, you're not the same woman who married your husband. You're not the same woman who's going to stay and take crap from a man. You're different. So if you fell for the prince that became the beast again, you wouldn't stick around for 20 years. You'd get out of it sooner. You'd get out of it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And, you know, trust that there's nothing you can get out of. If you know, and it's just really scary for women who have been married long term and they get out in the dating world. You know, they don't trust their judgment sometimes. They've been hurt. You know, they don't want to get in that same position where a man owns them, where they have no freedom. But, you know, you've had your freedom for 13 years. It's starting to get a little lonely, isn't it?
Yes, I'm very lonely. I mean, I mean, my kids are older now. I don't have all that responsibility. I want to devote more time to myself.
Right, and that's why you're going to pray to do what's best for everyone, including yourself. And even for your children's sake, they do need to see a better version of love than they saw between you and their father.
Yeah, they don't know what it's like how to treat a woman.
Right. And now I love the way that you said they don't know how to treat a woman, because what you're going to have to do is start teaching men how to treat a woman. You understand that I take full responsibility for my past relationships in which I allowed someone to be abusive or curse at me or not be nice to me. I didn't draw healthy boundaries soon enough. Which means that's not the way you talk to me. You're not permitted to talk to me that way. And realize that, you know, you have to teach a man how to treat you, you know, from the beginning, and how you expect to be treated. And, you know, people treat us the way we expect to be treated. And you want to give off that vibration that, you know, you're worthy of being treated with respect and kindness. And you can get that kind of a man so that your children can see is how a man treats a woman. And it's very important, and it really looks really promising here, your cards. But, you know, work on some of the things that, you know, even with this man with the texting, you allowed him to communicate to you in a way that you were not comfortable with.
Right.
So you should have said from the beginning, I don't do the texting thing. So if you want to have any kind of relationship with me, you have to call me, you have to speak to me, you have to see me. You know, you just have to say it right away. It doesn't make you a bitch. You say it nicely. If he doesn't like that, well, that's not what I'm like. Well, then fine. Get somebody who likes texting. It's not me. So it's okay to state what you want. Women are so afraid to be called a bitch, by the way, that they're actually too nice a lot. So I see love for you. Why don't you call in and let us know what happens in the next month or two, because you look like you could have some nice changes here.
Okay.
But start with Mr. Texter and tell him, you know, I'm not interested in this. You know what I mean? Go text somebody else, you know.
Well, I haven't seen him, so I have not. I did see him last night at Starbucks, and he walked
past me.
Did he say
hello to you?
No, I didn't say hello to him
either. Okay, now. Can you see, this is like the Tracy Chapman song, you know, we're less than strangers. Any man who would walk by me who already had a relationship, I would have just looked at him and say, that's what you're going to do? You're going to walk by me without saying hello? I mean, realize you probably were very hurt by his response, by what he did. Walk by you. But it also shows he's not a very nice person. He's not a very nice person. So, you know, we're going to give up on him. We're not going to make excuses for abuse. We're not going to feel sorry. First of all, shyness, by the way, is a passive-aggressive behavior.
Okay.
Shy people, they say they're shy, but they oftentimes, I learned this by being a children's entertainer. And, you know, the children, I'd be at, like Cinderella or one of the princess characters at a birthday party, and I'd give out instruments for the children to play. And all the children would play, but the shy kid would stand in the corner screaming they don't want an instrument. If you are shy and you don't want attention, why don't you just grab the instrument and play it? Because nobody would notice you. But you're screaming in the corner and everybody's looking at you.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be to me that sometimes people use shyness to manipulate people. You know, sometimes shy people are, you know, unaware that their behaviors hurt other people, makes other people feel uncomfortable. Sometimes you gotta get it over yourself. But some of the people that have claimed to me to be shy have been some of the most aggressive people later on I've come to see. Because shyness is fear, and fearful people, when they're cornered or when they're really fearful, can be very aggressive. So, you know, it doesn't sound like a shy person. It sounds like more like a passive-aggressive person to me. So, you know,
okay.
Just sometimes we're misinterpreting people's behaviors.
Okay, because I pretty much have shut him off, so I'm not going to hear from him or from the computer.
I mean, it looks like you might hear from him, but, you know, if he couldn't say hello to you in Starbucks, why should he be texting you? It doesn't sound normal. Can you see how you're not quite seeing that his behavior is really unacceptable, 1,000% unacceptable?
Right.
You know, nice people always kind of make excuses for abuse and kind of like, Jesus called us in Aramaic, that's the language he spoke, he called us the great crap takers. We take a lot of crap from everybody. But I want you to love yourself the way you love your children. If somebody just walked away from your children without acknowledging them, would you think that was okay?
No, I would not.
Right, so it's not acceptable. I mean, I think you're just a nice person and don't understand what you did to have him walk away like that. You didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
He's a grudge holder, by the way. I mean, when he was married, he has a grandmother that passed away. Said that when he was married, he would just be so grumpy and just hold a grudge for a week on end.
Oh,
you know,
that's horrible.
he just wouldn't talk to his wife for a week. And then he wonders why she divorces him. He didn't talk to her for a month. You know,
wow.
It's like... And when he said we're living like brother and sister, he didn't necessarily mean that in a positive sense. Brothers and sisters can fight like cats and dogs, you know. So I'm kind of laughing. You know what I'm talking about. He wasn't nice in that.
You don't think he was? You don't think he abused her like physically?
No, he was passive aggressive. That means the kind of man. I don't know if anybody's listening and has had been with a person who's a passive aggressive person.
Yeah.
They don't talk to you for a week. You ask them a question, they still won't answer. They, you know, they ignore you. The way he ignored you in Starbucks is what he did to his wife for 30 years. He ignored her.
Oh, I would have hit him over the head.
He didn't beat her, but that's still abusive.
But
you want to be ignored?
It's emotional abuse.
It's emotional abuse to just ignore someone, to not acknowledge them. It's also discounting their feelings as if they don't matter. I mean, that's a pretty mean thing to do, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, it is. Especially when somebody's telling you that they're in love with you and you're their dream girl and they want to marry you. So I don't know.
That's what he told you?
Yeah.
What he told you? Now, isn't it funny? The men, he's the prince that becomes the beast, and it takes about 6 months to do that. I'm not saying he's not looking to get married. He's going to tell a woman what she wants to hear. A woman desperate to get married will marry him. He expects you to cook for him, clean for him, give him meals, and he can masturbate to his porn, and he can do what he wants, and you could leave him alone. And if he's in love with you and you're his dream girl, how come he's not seeing you regularly and courting you and making you feel like a dream girl?
Mm-hmm.
Words are cheap. Can you see that? And the men now are learning from the internet, by the way, to tell women everything they want to hear. Tell them you're my soulmate, I love you. Women, you know, women are stupid and they believe this. But you just can't believe that he would say things and then not mean them. Or just say them and not act like it. So,
I didn't really know him that well, but you gave me a lot of good information. I appreciate it.
Right. Well, just imagine that he tells you he loves you and he doesn't know you that well.
Why don't you know my last name? How can you
okay,
love somebody?
That's what I'm trying to tell you. In other words, you're a good person, and you're still a good person that we always talk about on this show, that believe that people are telling the truth. 7 out of 10 people lie, and they lie a lot. They don't know the truth. It bites them in the ass. So realize not everybody's you. They say a lot of stuff they don't mean. They say a lot of stuff, you know, and he really is looking to probably get a woman to marry him just so he can have someone cook for him and clean for him and do his laundry.
Ew, like a separate one?
Yeah, ooh, doesn't that sound ooh?
Ew, that's nothing like that.
A lot of women are just desperate for a man, and they'll do it, but the prince that becomes the beast, they really usually want to lure us in, marry us quickly, because they can't sustain being the prince for more than 6 months, 3 to 6 months. So, you know, he's probably going to get some old woman in Florida that can't be alone, and he'll marry her in the 3 months, and then she's going to say, what the hell is this person? Frightening.
Oh, wow.
Well,
okay,
good luck to you. We're
going
to try to take another caller.
Thank you.
Good luck to you. Bye. Nicole, isn't it amazing of the dating world when you hear this stuff?
I hate that stuff.
Amazing.
I really do.
I mean, it's just the mixed messages all over the place.
It's because nobody wants to take a chance. That's really what it all comes down to. Nobody wants to put themselves out there. Everybody's afraid of something. And, you know, I think that, you know, now people, you know, because we've got so much at our access, they're constantly worried that they're going to make the wrong choice or that they're going to find something better after they've made a choice, and that, therefore they stop making choices altogether. And it really is the biggest load of horse shit I've ever heard in my life.
Thank you. Because it's really getting to the point where, I mean, I hear the same stuff over and over, and I, you know, from people that they meet somebody and it, you know, they don't understand what's going on with the people. But what do we stress here? Ask the person what they mean by things. You know, one of my clients was going on, she's working, and this guy was like kind of hitting on her, and you know, he asked her to go for a drive in his car, and, you know, she was, like, all nervous. And I'm like, he's not asking to marry him. Just, like, you know, see what's there. But ask him what's his intention. And when she was pretty much point blank with his intentions, where he was, like, stuttering, he couldn't answer the question.
Exactly.
Like, what's your intention?
You
want
to know why? Because he didn't construct an answer for the question. That's why.
Right. So if we ask people, why don't we just ask people, what's your intention in being with me? What's your intention in saying that? You know, ask people questions. And if they don't answer, because narcissists never answer the questions we ask, that means that's an answer. If you don't answer me, it's an answer. But why are people so afraid to ask people things?
I don't know.
This is your life, but you're getting involved with someone. I mean, I love when, you know, one of my clients was, you know, really, you know, attracted this guy and everything for months and months and months, you know, thinking he's a soulmate, and she never asked him, are you married? Are you in a relationship? And as it turns out, he was married.
God.
So for 6 months, you're fantasizing about somebody. You know, ask people. You know, whenever you meet somebody, you're talking on a line, you're just talking to people on, you always ask, do you have marriage, you have kids? I mean, that's a normal question. It's not like you're prying, but why not ask? Are you married? Are you involved? And the men, if you don't ask them, they're not telling you if they're married, by the way. If you didn't ask,
no.
So I don't have to tell.
Exactly. It really is very much like a don't ask, don't tell culture.
Does it happen in the lesbian world? Do women not ask each other if they're in relationships? Good. I mean, you know,
yes.
Please.
Yes, they do. You know what? I mean, I know that a lot of people will think that it's a lot different, but you know what? Gay world, straight world, it's tough out there no matter who you are. You know, and I mean, in the gay community, at least on Long Island, I can't speak for gay communities everywhere. And, you know, I know that not all lesbians are like this. So I don't want to categorize everybody.
Because we know you're not.
For the most part, of course not. But for the most part, in my experience in Long Island, New York, within the gay community, women don't necessarily ask. if you are in a relationship when they are hitting on you. And for whatever the reason, if you divulge that you are with somebody, and if you divulge that you, you know, that you are in fact seeing somebody, they try harder to continue to hit on you and press the issue.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know what?
Yeah.
I think that's like a little bit of like female hate on female hate. You know, it's just kind of like, well, you know, what does she have that I don't have, sort of thing, or whatever. And it's kind of like they want to prove to themselves that, hey, listen, you know, that they can get you too, so to speak, or that they can take you away from somebody else. And that's kind of like an ego boost for them. That's very, very similar in straight communities when, you know, girls go after guys that already have girlfriends. They want to know that guy, that they can make somebody leave somebody else and that they're better than that other person. You know, it's ridiculous. And, you know, I think that it all comes and it stems from an overall lack of respect, not only for the other person, but also for yourself. You know, that you're willing to take less and that you're willing to lower yourself and lower your standard, and that you would rather take a piece of a person instead of an entire person. You know, you'd rather be somebody's consolation prize than be somebody's, you know, than be somebody's everything. And I think it's sad. You know, it's sad
exactly.
that people have that image of themselves.
Exactly. And that's why I think what we're trying to do is help people with their self-esteem, help them to know it's okay to ask questions.
Of course,
how we deal with our children, if our children are going to be meeting a person or somebody, you want to ask questions. Who is this person? Are they a good person? Will they take good care of my children? Whatever. Why don't we, when we meet a person of our own, why aren't we protecting ourselves the same way? Who are you? Is this a good person? I mean, you'd be surprised how many people never Google people's names that they meet. Why don't you Google their name? See if there's something coming
yes.
up on this person. You know,
Google
and if nothing
their name,
comes up,
go
you probably
on, I mean, there's so many different outlets that you can do. There really are. You know, I mean,
well,
you know what? People could write whatever they want on the internet. You know, that's the problem. You know, you think that you know things because you read them on the internet. There's only literally three clicks away. I'm only three clicks away at all times from changing my status to single.
Right, exactly.
What does that mean? Does that mean I'm single? Does it make it fact because it's on Facebook? You know, I'm only three clicks away at any given time to say that I am single on Facebook. Don't trust Facebook. Ask the person directly. Look into somebody's eyes and ask them. Because you know what? You'll probably pick up on the fact that they're lying if you do it that way.
Right. And
it's
if you
a
should
cop-out
see it.
To use the internet.
You know, and the men with their slickness, I you know, sometimes men will, like, you know, message me on Facebook, which I don't appreciate because it clearly states that I'm married on my Facebook page.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I won't really answer, and I won't answer it, and they'll keep saying stuff and, you know, oh, I think you're my soulmate. And they say nonsense. They don't know who I am. They've never met me. And they're saying, I think you're my soulmate. I'm like, what is the nonsense here? Then I ban them from the Facebook page. But the point is, can you see how men, people or women or men or whatever, they're telling people, you know, oh, I saw you on Facebook, you're my soulmate, you're this. You know, and they sometimes can get a person who's vulnerable. And that's how, those are the kind
yeah.
of people that are taken advantage of. At a moment of weakness where they're feeling bad, their self-esteem's bad, and then this person starts like whining and dining them on the Facebook. And they start thinking this person is really, you know, after, you know, them personally, rather than they're just stalking women or stalking people. So you have to be a little careful on the social media, too, for that reason, that they are throwing
oh, yeah.
around the buzzword, you're my soulmate, you know
what I mean? Oh, yeah, they know. I mean,
if I hear that,
just like
if
like
I hear
anybody.
That one more time on Facebook, I'm gonna throw up. I mean, it's funny. It's like, But, you know that we have to be a little bit less trusting of everything people, you know, that when people tell us things, it doesn't mean it's the truth.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we do have Jennifer in Maryland, I think she is.
Yes, she is. And Jennifer actually has got another relationship question, Cindy. She has
okay, good.
Been in
I
kind
love
of those. An on and off relationship for the past 2 years. It is somewhat long distance, and it's when they're apart, it's, you know, she feels like it's not going anywhere. But then he comes home, and it feels like it is going someplace. So she's a little bit on the fence, and she doesn't really quite know what to do about that. So she's hoping that you can help her out there. So let's see
okay,
here from
what
Jennifer
I'm
in Maryland.
Tell you, a little bit about how I do readings, okay, and how I, you know, my computer brain calculates things, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm reading what you wrote here for me to read, okay? Jennifer, Maryland, about current relation,
yep.
On and off, 2 years, long distance. Okay, right off, the on and off says to me, commitment phobia, okay?
Yep.
Long distance, commitment phobia. Not going anywhere, commitment phobia, okay?
Yeah.
Those three things in less than 15 words would
mm-hmm.
are very telling to me. Okay, those things.
Of course they are.
I calculate to be one of them. I would calculate slight commitment phobia. Two,
mm-hmm.
medium commitment. Three, major commitment phobic. This guy is. Okay, so I'm going to put Jennifer on, but I just wanted to point that out a little bit. How quickly
all right.
people are revealing so much about a relationship in a few
mm-hmm.
words. So
yep.
those are
sometimes
the words that I always look
it.
For. Right, right.
All right.
So let's put Jennifer on.
You got it. Hello, Jennifer.
Hi.
You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Jennifer. Did you hear what I was saying about commitment phobia?
Yeah, I did.
Okay,
I just wanted to rephrase my question because
sure.
I've been going through a lot of depression because my brother recently passed away, and I just wanted to know if that had anything to do with my relationship.
That would have everything to do with your relationship, and you are brilliant to see the connection.
Mm-hmm.
You might have a little bit of closet commitment phobia yourself at this point, and closet commitment phobia or commitment phobia is often a fear of loving someone who could die on us.
Okay.
It's really, really scary to love
yeah.
a soulmate, heart, soul, mind, and body, and put your whole being into that. And, you know, our major fear is, what if this person dies? I try to prove by being able to talk to those who have crossed over and be sort of an expert on soulmates that death ends a life, not a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, your brother is very much always near you.
Mm-hmm.
And he would not want you to not love. He would want you to love with all your heart. He seems like he was a nice person. Is that true?
Yeah, he was really nice.
He has a kind soul. He's a kind being.
Mm-hmm.
It appears from what he's telling me that you and your boyfriend started out as soulmates. Do you remember loving this man when you first met him?
Yeah.
Heart, soul, mind, and body. Do you remember that when you first met him?
Yeah.
Now, what's happening is you may be trying to water down your love because you're afraid. And who's the one that seems to feel like it's not going anywhere? Is it you that feels like you're not, when he's
yeah.
away, you don't feel close to him when he's away?
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like whenever we go off to college, because we don't go to the same schools, it just feels like he's not interested in, like, keeping the relationship going, and I still would like to, like, at least talk to him. It doesn't even have to be, like, romantically. But
okay, now, we're going to call you on that. We're going to call you on that. There's two
mm-hmm.
ladders of love. One is a soulmate, heart, soul, mind, body connection, the romantic ladder of love in general, any kind of romantic.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a friendship ladder. You can't be friends with a person if you still want to be romantic with them. And what you would be allowing him to do is call the shots, that you could be my friend with benefit or my friend, but you can't be my lover or my girlfriend. I mean, that according to your brother, you're a pretty liberated woman in many ways. Do you know that about yourself?
Yeah.
And he goes, how'd you end up being this wimp with this guy now? I mean, it's not you. It's according to your brother, I don't know what girl's on the phone with you over there, you know, on your radio show, but that doesn't sound like my sister. You know,
yeah.
that you used to be a woman who would not really allow a man to come and go as he pleased.
Yeah.
And that you would have called more of the shots. Now, your fear of abandonment is really great after your brother died. And,
yeah.
you know, what's happening is this love is no longer soulmate. It's not even a mediocre love. It's
really?
Pretty toxic because he's calling the shots. And toxic love becomes like an addiction. And it.
Mm-hmm.
you can throw acid in my face and I'm going to stay and you're going to stay. Can you see how this isn't healthy for you to be allowing him to come and go as he pleases? And you know, if he just talks to you, do you want to mean just he could be your friend? You said it doesn't have to be romantic. Friends talk about who they're sleeping with, what they're doing. Do you want to hear what he's who he's sleeping with? Do you want to hear about?
No, not at all.
So how could he be your friend?
I know.
And you know, your brother's laughing because he really is saying, please don't allow yourself to be so afraid of love that you're going to allow this man to do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Your brother's pretty apologetic about his death, by the way.
Really?
Do you know why he would say he's sorry?
Why?
It's first of all, he doesn't seem to have wanted to cause this much pain by his death. I don't think he was the kind of person that wanted to cause pain. He says that you have decent parents. Is that true?
Yeah. Well, what
and
do
that
you
he
mean
missed, that they're good parents, and he's sorry that he's caused them so much pain. Do you talk to your parents at all?
Yeah, I talk to my mom. My dad passed away too.
Okay, because he's saying that he wants you to be close to your mother. You've lost not only your brother, you've lost your father. So you think these two things don't have anything to do with your having trouble loving at this point?
Yeah, I think they probably don't.
Okay, and do you think that your dad loved your mom?
Yeah, I think he did.
Okay, he loved her.
He
they didn't
around.
Always like each other. They didn't always like each other. Do you know that?
Yeah,
they had their issues.
I know. Yeah, I know.
Your brother said that your father was a decent enough father. He wasn't a saint. He wasn't the best father, but he wasn't the world's worst either.
Yeah.
Who was the one that either drank too much or drugs?
My dad.
Right, because your dad is apologizing about his behaviors, by the way.
Oh, my God, really?
Your mother could not fix your father. He was pretty unfixable, your dad. He was a pretty manipulative man. He could be judgmental. He had addiction.
Yeah.
He wasn't unfixable. And know that it wasn't that your mother didn't love him. She stopped liking him. At some level, the man you're with is pretty manipulative. You know, he tells you can be this close, not that close. You know, he'll come and be lovey-dovey and sweep you off your feet and make sure you still love him, and then he walks away.
Yeah.
That's pretty manipulative.
Yeah.
You know, your brother's not a fan of the guy that you're with.
Really?
He would prefer you to have someone that you can commit to, that will cherish you and love you. Your father's been gone how long?
He passed away in 2006, so I guess 10 or 9 years.
Right. He's changed a lot. He's a much better father figure from above than he was on Earth. He's changed. He doesn't have his addictions. You know that you can ask your brother and your father for help, but, you know, you're going to be granted another soulmate. You're not really responsible for the ending of this relationship. It's pretty much what you might want to tell him is it's all or nothing.
Okay.
You know,
so what
if you want to be my, if you want to be my soulmate and my lover, that's great. I don't need another friend. He has to fear losing you more than loving you. He doesn't think he'll ever lose you. He thinks you'll stick around and you'll take his crap for 5 years.
Yeah.
It's not healthy. Can you see that it's not healthy for you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know. I'm just like, whenever we don't talk, I always miss him for some reason. Like, I always feel like I want to talk to him.
Of course, because he was your friend, but you miss him, but it's going to start becoming an addiction. It's going to be like you got to go cold turkey. It's not good for you, and you'll call him back, you know. Do you find a soulmate friend, a soulmate girlfriend that you can talk to? Do you have friends you can talk to?
Yeah.
Call them up. Call us up. you know, call anybody but him up. You know what I mean? Call anybody else up, you know, but realize that it's becoming something that's not healthy for you.
Yeah.
That he's calling all the shots. In some ways, you've picked a man that maybe is not very fixable the way your father was. And we always have to try to prove we could fix our fathers. Get over it. There's some people we're not going to fix.
Right,
and,
yeah.
You know, can you see that? And, you know, if you tell him this, the guy may start judging you that you're not being very nice. Well, so be it.
Right. I have to look out for myself.
All right. Love yourself the way you would love your daughter. What would you tell your daughter to do?
Yeah, the same thing.
Okay,
like, let yourself be respected. Yeah.
Right, and that you deserve more. And women, every call tonight's been the same bullshit about men calling the shots and women sitting there waiting for them to call. What is this, 1900?
Yeah.
This is the 21st century, ladies. You know, we have to sit around and wait for you.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have more than one soulmate. Even if it's a soulmate, it's not a soulmate now. So tell him what you want. More than anything, you would want to be with him and only him. But if he can't do that, then you don't need a fuck buddy or a friend with benefits. You know, see ya.
Yeah.
Call in and let us know what happens, please.
All right, thank you, I will.
Well, good luck to you. We are at the end of our show, so we do have to close up shop here. Thank you so much for calling in. Have a great summer. Okay, Nicole, did you see we sort of had the same kind of call all night today? Did you see it was all the same kind of call tonight?
Yes, I did.
All the same kind of call. So, you know,
we've
got to start having...
You know what, like I said, it's sad. It really is sad.
It is sad.
You know.
Well, anyway, thanks everybody for calling in. I'm going to get ready to have Jean. She's coming. Jean Steele, the woman who gave us our beautiful comforters, you know, that she made, that she little bedspreads. She's coming for a reading now, so I want to make sure I'm ready for her when she comes.
Well,
okay,
you give Jean my best.
I will. That's why I told you.
And give that husband of yours a hug for me.
Okay, I sure will. Bye.
All right, honey. Bye.